Are we on?
We're on.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. I think we have, do we have the verse up there? Twist your hand towards me. And you're going to ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me. Not my neighbor, not my spouse. Speak to me, Father. This is your time and your hour, Holy Spirit. Speak a word in season, Lord. I call for the angel, Lord, that's in charge of all the parts, Father, in heaven, Lord, in those warehouses, God, to release many parts, Father, for the healing of your people tonight, Lord. I ask that you forgive many sins, Father, so that many can receive healing, God. Somebody say it, amen.
Amen.
The years of our life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, like what it says in the Hebrew, or with good health, if you take care of yourself. By reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. It's okay. Like what it says at the end. They're soon gone. Somebody's saying, we fly away.
We fly away.
I'm going to come down, Pastor.
All right.
I hope I can take this thing off. Just to grab it. Oh, my. Got it? Anybody cut my hair? No. This scripture is actually something pretty profound because even though it's so simple, it actually telling you that, or telling us in general, that God gives you 70 years on the face of the earth for you to live. They're given to you. In other words, you're not to die before your 70 years. They're yours. It even goes to say, and by reason of strength, then you may even live to 80. I like what the scripture says when Jacob is talking to Pharaoh. He says, Pharaoh says to Jacob, how old are you? He says, the span of my journey has been 120 years on my pilgrimage, he says. And they've come with a lot of turmoil and a lot of pain. But they are nothing compared to my forefathers. They lived into their 900 and 500 and somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what he was saying, is it? You know. But God gives you God gives you the 70 years to live. They're yours. And if you take care of yourself, you're going to live even a longer risen of strength. God wants you to live a long life here on earth. I like what the scripture says. It once it says, there's a scripture that says, the wise man laid an inheritance. Stay with me. The wise man left an inheritance to his children's children. I understood then that if it calls him wise, left an inheritance to his children's children. And you constantly hear throughout the scriptures, children's children, children's children. And I come to understand by the Spirit of God that God wants us all to live so that one day we can all be grandparents.
Amen.
Some grandparents say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen. God wants you to live to see your grandparents. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're not supposed to die before you become grandparents. I don't know. There's something about being grandparents. You know, something happened in my family, and I was telling. I come from a very large family. And
how many siblings?
17 siblings. Somebody say, And but I remember my younger brothers, they all, I don't know why, but the younger ones started having grandkids. And the older ones, like me, we weren't having, I was going into my 50s and 51, 52, and nothing. And all of a sudden, God gave us the grandkids. And the grandkids is something else. You don't want nobody to touch them. You don't want nobody to say nothing to them. I mean, there's something special. And I say, if I could have had my grandkids first. I want my grandkids to spend my money. Somebody say amen. Sometimes when you get tired of them, you want to hit them, but you don't want to spank them because they're yours, but they're not yours. Anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The glory of having grandkids is if you get sick of them, I want those, everybody, let's go home. You can send them all home, hallelujah. Once you get tired of them. I am saying all that for a purpose, believe it or not, because we're talking about healing, right? I believe the grandkids are like a gift given to you at your later years. Because as your marriage, as the years go by and your careers and family and all these things that you go through, all of a sudden your love for each other, that kiss in the morning, that I love you, all of a sudden it just becomes, things become a routine. And without even knowing, your love starts to fade away slowly. And listen to me, you don't do it on purpose. It just automatically starts to happen. And you start to, I've met pastors and men of God, and where I've gone and to their homes, and one's room is on that side of the house, and the wife stays on the other side. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it should not be that way. Scripture says, till death do us part, that we are not to separate from each other. That is not God's way. And I don't know, you're sitting here and maybe you've grown apart for so many things that has hit you. And I would even say to you, maybe today what God wants to heal that. Heal your marriage. Maybe there's some things there that your career's got in the way, your children got in the way, and somehow your passion is not there like it used to be or as strong as it was supposed to be. And you're listening in to what I'm saying right now. Because the Spirit of God will have me tell you, it's not supposed to be that way. You should love your spouse. Listen, men. You should love your spouse. Even as you love yourself. Listen to that. As you love yourself. Let me tell you something, women of God. We, as men, we really love ourselves. Yeah. I mean, everything has to be. Come on, sister, say amen. Everything has to be. I mean, the way we cut our beard, the way we shave, how we smell, how we walk, our arms. Look at that. It's got to be right there. Right. Look at that. It doesn't even move. It won't move from there. Look at this. when we're in a when we're in our mirror, we're like, I had a brother that was like that. He was terrible. When we'd go out to you know, go out in town, you know, the reflection from the windows. The problem was, he's the ugliest one of all. He's got his ears like this big, man. You ever seen a truck with the doors open? One time he says, "Rich, do you hear that? Rich, do you hear that? You hear that?" I said, "What? Where? Where is it? In New Jersey." As you love yourself, Scripture says that how deep are our prayers, and how God demands that we treat our spouse. That our prayers are even hindered as men when we don't treat our wives the way we're supposed to treat them. There's another scripture, and I can prove it to you. It says that even if a man loses his own marriage, God doesn't even blame the woman. He blames the man because he couldn't keep his home together. He couldn't find a way to keep his home together. And he was the priest of his home. And that God gave him dominion to be king of the hill, and gave him and made him the stronghold in his home, the strong man. That your prayers would be hindered. Can you imagine that? You're praying, but you don't treat your spouse right, and God doesn't even hear you. He just put a deaf ear to you. And you wonder why things don't work. No, my brothers, it should not be that way. God wants to heal that. Tonight, your 70 years that God gives you, and by reason of strength, God will give you up to 80 years to live on the face of the earth. You can stand in God. I don't care if you're sick in your body, you got cancer, you whatever they tell you. I've used those scriptures when they told me that I had a massive cancer. The whole, you know, it's okay that a doctor comes and says, you know, you got a little mass, you know, on the side of it. He said, your whole back has a mass of cancer. I said, shut up. When I'm dying there in that veteran hospital, I remember what the angel of the Lord told me before he left in the year of my commission as a prophet of God. He says, Rich, stretch your hand now and tell them that if they just believe in me, not one hair from their head will perish. And I looked up to the ceiling and I said, that's right. I'm not afraid of that. I can't die. Not one hair from my head will perish if I just believe in you right now. And the angel of the Lord appeared to me right there. He said, right you are, he said. And the next day, they're scrambling, seven doctors trying to find out what happened because they can't find nothing. That's documented. That is documented. God wants you to live. You can tell the Lord, Lord, I'm supposed to have good health, God. Amen. You said that I can live 70 years. can live, Father, then you need to heal me, God. There's a scripture that says, remind ye me. Remind me of my promises. Remind me of what I have said. Listen to that. God knows, but he said, I want you to remind me of my promises. Remind God. Remind him what he has said. Somebody once told me, Prophet, I don't understand. If I am supposed to live with good health, then why is it that I have to be at the doctor constantly with pills and appointments and all this? I said, 90% of you, the problem is right here. The Bible says that death and life are in the power right here. Some of the things that God has to heal first is right here. Your words, what you say, the things that come out of you. Chances are what you're living today is what you have declared or confessed 10 years ago today. You are living that. If you say you can't, the enemy's there to tell you, I've been telling you, you never will. If your words are always negative, I'll tell you the best medicine that any man or woman can find in their lives is to speak positive. Amen. Positive words bring you healing. I don't care where you're at right now. You can change the way that you talk. Your confessions, what you say. Don't say you can, you say you can. That you will never amount to, you will amount to something. You will do great things. You will shake the world. You are wonderful. You are powerful. You are more than a conqueror. You are in Christ, all these things and more.
Amen.
Your words. You know, the half-brother of Jesus, Santiago, James, said these words. I think he knew a little something he learned because he hung around with his brother. And he said, he wrote these words. And if you have a chance, read Santiago, James. So powerful. He said, it is a mystery, he said, that we can put bits on an animal or a horse, and we can maneuver them by just pulling on the bit. We want to make him go right, pull. We make him right, left, make him halt. It's a mystery, he said. The animal being so big, a small little bit, you know, will govern him. He said, it's a mystery. A ship being so massive, even against the current, against the waves and the wind, a small rudder, a little bitty rudder, controls him that he will not astray anywhere. Somebody say amen, hallelujah. It'll be focused on his direction against the wind and the current. It's the mystery that the tongue, being such a small member, yet it can govern the whole body. Listen to that. He was talking about the power.
Amen.
And he doesn't stop there. He says the tongue is like a little kinder, a little power. A little spark. Once it sparks, the whole forest. Just watch. The smallest tongue in the church, it can ignite the whole church. One little tongue. The other side of the coin is this, that if one tongue full of the power of the Holy Ghost, full of the glory of God, if it ignites, see, you don't need a lot of people, just one. You can be the person that says, Lord, use me, Father. Ignite me, God. And it will catch on fire, revival, or whatever you want to, it'll catch on fire the whole church.
Amen.
One tongue.
Amen.
that ignites itself. Your words. I remember my daughter when she was young, because our kids are listening in on everything. And maybe the words that were spoken to you when you were young, today you can't shake them off. Maybe they told you you were no good, you could never, and all these things. Because I come from that kind of environment where, you know, words, terrible words were spoken to when we were little. And maybe those words, it's got you that way. Some people speak words that are so negative. My father was a drunk, so I'm a drunk. My parents had diabetes, so I have diabetes. There's been nothing but divorces in my family, so I'm going to be... No. Listen to me. The day you came to Christ, the curse was broken off of you. The day you came to Christ, all these curses were broken off of you. You don't have to. You don't have to be defeated because somebody else is defeated. I tell you that by experience. Because all my uncle died in the early 40s. Nobody made it to 50. I have outlived all my uncles. My mama outlived all her relatives. Nobody lived to 80. My mama lived to 81. Your words. Change your words. How you speak. This is healing and medicine to your body. Anybody receiving anything? This is a good word, isn't it? Your words. Let God heal you. Man, the people, me and my wife, that's the best thing God ever did for us, you know. You know? Because my mama, my uncles and everybody, I remember they were terrible. You're going to kill me. You're going to drive me crazy. All you kids are going to go. You're driving me crazy. You're going to give me a heart attack. Ah! You know. These negative words were spoken to us. And then we had today, you know, people tell me, Prophet, are you catching a cold? No, I'm catching a healing. I watch my words, what comes out of my mouth. I remember when my daughter was young, you know, I started telling her, you're a prince. You're a princess. You're beautiful. You're going to do great things. You're going to marry a rich man. You're going to marry into a rich family. You're going to be smart, and you're going to take care of me. Hallelujah. And I remember one day, I'm in a conversation and she's pulling on my coat. I said, hang on, baby. But daddy, the daughters are, I mean, with their daddies. Daddy, you know, before you know it, they took your money. You don't even know how it happened. You know. But daddy, she's pulling on my coat. I finally said, what, baby? She said, daddy, you know how I'm the most prettiest girl in the world, you know? I said, yeah, baby, you are. She said, well, what do I tell my friends? Because I don't want them to feel bad because, you know, I'm the prettiest girl in the world. You see, it was too late. It was too late. If you'd have told her that she wasn't pretty, she would have never believed you. Because it was inside of her. It was impounded in her. And many times, when we're young, we have to be careful what we tell our children. Amen. I don't know why you can't be like your brother. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know your... And the kid grows up thinking that he's worthless. That he'll never amount to anything. And you're listening to me right now. And maybe you had to fight that thing all your life. Your words are powerful. The Bible says that God gave us the power to call things that are not as though they were. Listen to that. How powerful your tongue is to create Something out of nothing. Just nothing there. And then you speak it out. And before you know it, there it is. Because you spoke it out. You create your whole environment. Everything about you. Even today, before you came to service, you opened up your closet and you were looking and you going, talking to yourself. Let me see. I think I'll wear the white scarf with the black. Yeah, I'll use black today. I'm going to bury the devil this evening a little bit. Speak your words. So powerful. Hezekiah is dying. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Because I need to pray with several of you. I want to anoint you. I want to exercise my gift over you. Allow the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do. Hezekiah is dying. Surely he's going to die. King Hezekiah. You know the story. There's no way out. Theologians think that it was probably a cancer. Was eating him from the inside out. You can imagine this smell. And this thing is just eating him out on the outside. And if it's not enough, or he's laying in his bed, God sends him a major prophet by the name of Isaiah to tell him that he will not live, but he'll die. I say, man, if a doctor tells you you're going to die, well, you can get on your knees. If some witch or wizard tells you you're going to die, well, you can settle it up, take it up to God. But what are you going to do when God sends you a major prophet to tell you that you're going to die and you're not going to live? Help me out, somebody. Where are you going to run? And he comes in, and he's going to prophesy, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, but truly you will die and not live." And the Bible says when these words come to him, he doesn't know what to do. He's not even 40 years old. The Bible says that he turned himself against the wall. Y con un gran lloro, with a great cry, he cries out to the Lord, and he tells him three things. He said, "Lord, remember that I have walked with you. All the days of my life, I've walked with you. Two, Lord, remember, I've had an upright heart. There's been no malice. Integrity has lived in my heart. I've held nothing against nobody, no matter what they did to me. I always found it in my heart to forgive, Lord, and to let it go. No matter how difficult or how hard, I always found a way, Lord." Remember that whatever you sent me to do, I did it. If you sent me to build, I built it. If you told me to do something, I did it. And no matter who came against me, I did everything that you called me to do, Lord. I don't know. I like to call it an ace. The Bible says that one of the men, the prophet, is in a halfway through the courts. The word of the Lord came to him and says, "Isaiah, go back and tell the prince of my people two things. One, I have seen his tears. Listen to that. I have seen his tears. I don't know if you're like me. I think one day I'm going to get to heaven. There's going to be a whole bunch of barrels full of water. I said, Lord, what in the world is all this, Lord? He said, these are all your tears. I said, Lord, what about that big one over there? That was the darkest time in your life. I harnessed every tear. This is so powerful, man of God. Because I had never seen it this way. And when the Lord showed me this, how the next one is, tell him that I have heard his prayer. One prayer is about to reverse a prophecy given by God. A prophecy given, thus says the Lord, now. How powerful is our prayers to God. Surely his mercy endures. Surely his mercy endures. When my mentor died, the late John Osteen, the city said, you will not pay nothing for his funeral. The city will bury him in his honor. And you would drive down the freeways, and the billboards, his face was on the billboards, and all the major ins and outs of the freeway. And the words were, his mercy endures. Because when he was dying on his son-in-law's hand, his son-in-law looked at his dad. Why do men of God have to die? And he said, he raised up and he looked at him and said, because his mercy endures forever. God's mercy endures forever. And God don't want you sick. God wants you healed. The scripture says that God gave the children of Israel what is called divine health. You know what divine health means in the Hebrew? Never having to say, I am sick a day in my life. That's why in the camp, when the glory of God would hover down, the Shekinah glory, the Bible says there was not one feeble in all the camp. 3 million people with not one headache. Glory. Just wink if I'm taking too long, okay? I feel the anointing. I feel God's going to heal somebody. Hallelujah. It ends tonight. Yeah. I said it ends tonight, hallelujah. Yeah. Prophecy. I wasn't going to say this, but listen how the prophecy is reversed because of the prayer. Be careful when people prophesy to you all the time. Not all things that people say to you are from God. There's a lot of people say that God said and God said and God heard. You got to be careful with that. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'll tell you one thing, that prophet that stuttered, man, that really took me for a loop, man. Because I heard him prophesy over there, and then when he came to me, he stuttered, and I was kind of puzzled. He said, were you not stuttering a while ago? That tells you that's a prophet of God. And that's not that's real stuff right there. Yeah. Amen. You know? Amen. He says, O king, 3 days from now, you're going to go up to the house of the Lord, and God's going to heal you from your infirmity. Notice he doesn't get the oil, the horn of oil, and anoints him or speaks over him. He doesn't do anything. He says, 3 days from now, you're going to get up and you're going to go to the house of the Lord, and the Lord's going to heal you. This is a major prophet, man. He raises dead people from the dead, and yet he won't touch him. But I think there's something missing. I think the conversation went something like this. King, look at me. The house of the Lord, if you get on your chariot, it's about an hour drive from here. And God has blessed you and abundant, gave you everything. Everything has held nothing from you. But you never visit the house of the Lord. But you want God to heal you now. Look at you now. And you will never visit the house. I believe in my heart that God has a place where he's going to heal people. He has his altars. He says his place is where God's going to heal people. I'm almost done. And when they get in the morning, you can see this video. Here comes a whole caravan. They're dragging the king, because that's sometimes that's the only way we're going to go to church. They're dragging the king, and everybody's around him. And as they're taking him, this mob of people taking him to church, he looks over to Isaiah and says, what's going to be the sign that I'm supposed to receive my healing? He said, the sign is that God said it, and he's going to do it. Well, I think he got religious on him, and all of a sudden he says, well, I don't know. I need a confirmation. You ever heard that one? I need a confirmation that what God is going to confirm to me is a confirmation, is a real confirm that what you're... And as they were walking, he said, show me a sign. Stay with me. Right above where they're at, there was this clock that was built in the city to keep time. Ingenious the way they made it. This is the way they made it. When the sun would come out, it would hit the first step. And when the shadow would cover the first one, that was the sixth hour, the first hour of the day. And the sun kept going up, and the shadow would come up. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Isaiah looks over and says, listen, whatever hour where the shadow is that you want God to heal you, you just tell me, and God's going to heal you. And here goes the shadow. First hour, 7 hour. When he gets 10 degrees or to the tens, he says, stop. He says, what? Stop. The king says, that's easy. That's a no-brainer, in other words. The shadow always goes forward. Why don't you make it come back? See how we are? Need a real confirmation. Hallelujah. And look at this is why I tell you the power of the man of God, but God won't let him touch him. Because there are some things that God can heal you. But there's got to be sometimes some repentance and some things that you got to let go. God can use the man of God to heal them, because the Bible says as soon as he said that, he looked up to heaven, okay, Lord, you heard him. Make the shadow come backwards. Here comes the sun. Here comes the earth. The moon. The people for 10 hours. And when they arrived, they grabbed some figs. But you know, this is evidence. That if God will stop the sun and reverse time for one person to heal, you cannot tell me that God wants you sick. If God will go that far to heal one person, then God don't want you sick. In my family, there was all kinds of sick. Man, they were always talking about sickness. Oh, my sugar goes up, my sugar goes down. Oh, the ants follow me, you know, all kinds of stuff. Man. I had an uncle who had so much sugar, all he did is just stick his finger and go, in his coffee. It's ready. That's a lot of sugar. I had to cut this in half, all this message. I want to pray for you. I want God to, when you come before me, I'm going to believe God that you're going to live a long life. My mama said, when I die, I will die without no sickness and no pain. A year and a half ago, my mama went to be with the Lord. And the doctor chuckled when she said that there. And she looked at him and says, I saw you laughing. Stick around. He said, have you found what's wrong with me? He said, not now. You won't. He says, because I'm leaving. Last night I went to heaven, but I was waiting on my son, talking about me, my son to get here, because I needed to talk to him. But I'm gone, with no sickness and no pain. And my mom in front of the doctor said, come here, mijo, let's sing for the last time. And I grabbed, if you go to Rich Flores on Facebook, you'll see it all there. I said, mama, hang on, let me put my smartphone in. And I hit the button and said, okay, mama, let's sing for the last time. And she goes, in Spanish. Oh, Señor, es mucha la labor y obreros faltan ya. And she went on to singing. And when she finishes, she says, well, we sing for the last time, you. I said, yeah, madre. And you'll see her, and she goes, thank you, Jesus. And you hear me say, madre, mom, madre. When my mama was 69 years old, I'll close down. When my mama was 69 years old, they called me and said, I was real young in the Lord. I was barely crawling in the ministry. They didn't call me prophet. They called me non-prophet. That's a joke, okay? I don't know where that came from. I was barely crawling. And it says, Rich, your mom is in the hospital. And have you ever been to Houston? Houston, I tell people, Houston is not big. It's a monster. It's a monster. I mean, you can come into Houston and you can clock yourself, because I've done it. for 1 hour. You could cut 1 hour and you can go 80, 75 miles an hour for 1 hour. And after the hour, you're still in the city. It's so massive that you can put New York and Chicago in area inside it, and it's still bigger than they are. And the people, oh, you never seen so many Mexicans. Build a wall. If you're a Democrat, you're going to have a hard time with that one. I don't know if I And I'm in, going to hospital. I say that because there's not enough nurses. There's not enough doctors. Not enough staff for anything. It's a multitude of people, man. Like a sea of people. And the gurneys are all on the hallway. People dying. And I'm going through the gurney looking for my mama. And all of a sudden, I heard a gasp. And I looked over, and I could see her eyes. She was, and I pulled her to them. Madre, I said, what is wrong with you, mama? And her eyes would come in and out, in conscious, and she would come in and out of consciousness. I said, Madre, Mom, Madre. And all of a sudden, her eyes opened, and she said, Mijo, which means son. I said, Mijo. I said, Mom, what's wrong? He said, Mijo, I'm dying, Mijo, I'm dying. I said, don't say such thing, Mama. He said, no, Mijo, I've gone through a lot of things. But I think, I feel mi alma. I feel my soul leave me. And when she's talking to me, here comes a team of doctors and nurses, and they took her. And I didn't know what to do. And I ran to the chapel and in my asie, I just flopped there. And this is all I have. I never knew my father. Nobody ever wanted his father. And if you take this, I don't know what. And when I was there, I remembered the scripture. But I didn't know where it was at, and I'm looking through the Bible, and I said, I think it's in Psalms, I think it's in Proverbs, and I'm looking at the massive Bible that they have. They can choke a meal with these things. And I'm looking, and I found it. And I grabbed it, and I kneeled, and I said, Lord, it says right here that my mother can live 70 years, and she's 69. She's got to live. You promised this. And I heard the voice of the Lord so strongly. I heard him, I heard the Spirit say, tell your mother that she will live till she's in her 80s. My mama died at 81. Would you stand? I'm going to pray for the sick. I'm going to ask you, if it's possible, I would like to have the from the chairs on the pews back. You could form a line if you need to. Listen, you don't have to tell me your sickness because I can't heal you. But the one that was with me, he can heal you. He's a doctor of the doctors, and he can heal you from anything. The least important thing, he can heal you today. My ministry is known worldwide that when I pray for the sick, countless of thousands of people have healed from their blood. I say, if God can heal you from your blood, then why he can heal you from anything. The life is in the blood. I want you to come with faith. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Maybe your strength will leave you. Maybe you'll faint. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe you just want to lay there. I don't. It's up to you. I want you to receive your healing. Maybe your healing is that you can't let go of something they told you or done to you or hurt you. Some hurt that it is proven fact that 85% or more people are sick. This is a medical thing, a survey. Most people can't forgive. Let it go. This is the year of Jubilee. A year to pardon, a year to forgive. Release it. It's not worth it. Let God heal you. Maybe you do, you have all the reasons to avenge yourself, to defend yourself, to open your mouth and say something back. But God said that the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Give it to Him. Mija, mijo, let Him heal you. Let Him heal you, mijo. Mija, let Him heal you. I hear the Spirit say, never once did I want you sick. Never once did I put sickness on you. It was not my will for you. Many people are going to heal from sugar diabetes. They're gonna take the pills away from you. Some of you, God is going to take you to a good doctor. Just like they put those figs, they put them together in a masa, and they made the remedy, and they put it on his skin, and he healed instantly. But the most powerful is as soon as he healed, God tells him, not only that will I do for you, I am going to extend your life 15 more years. You can tell the Lord, I want to live the best 15 years of my life, Lord. And I want to live them with good health. Father, I don't want to be on some gurney with no limbs and aside from everybody, no, in some house. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live a long life. I want to see my children, God, and I want to provide, and I want to lay up in it, and I want to grow old with my wife and my you're sick in your body, I'm going to ask you, would you come? It doesn't mean that you're wrong with God. It means that God's going to heal you. That's what He wants to do. Come on. You know who you are. Get on the side. Just from the pews back. Make a line on each one of the entrance. From the pews back. Leave me all this area because I'm going to need it, please. From the pews back, make a line. Step right there. Many are going to come. Listen to me. Mean you're going to come. I hear the Spirit of God. If you can't have any children, get in the line. If you've been having problems having children, get in the line. I hear the Spirit of God. Somebody's carrying a loneliness, a depression. You don't tell nobody, but I'm seeing it right now. God's going to heal you from that and going to give you purpose and tolerance. Get in the line. Ushers, help me, because a lot of people are going to lose their strength. Listen to me. You don't have to close your eyes. Just help me pray. Intercede. Many of the infirmities are going to come out. This is constantly everywhere in all different people. This is not any ordinary prayer. The infirmities are going to go out, the bodies, and they're going to run and turn, look for some places. Please continue in prayer.